Intro, October 12th, 1989.
We begin our worship by singing hymn number 236. We have a change. Hymn number 236, The Church's One Foundation.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we come before you today to praise you, to thank you for the many blessings that you give us, for your guidance, for your love, for your grace. I pray, Lord, that we'll each try to be your disciple and remember that being a disciple is not just following, but committing to your learning and then putting that in practice in our lives. Being a disciple is also to take up the cross you have given us, Lord, whatever that may be. And that means to put self aside, to follow you. Help us to remember that our true purpose is to glorify you and to praise you and to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Oh, Jesus, bye, bop, wet, I'm a waffle, oh, shim, I'm by the leg, bedroom, ah, oh, shim, for ye, ah, do, bala, oh, shim, oh, go, ah, no, ah, bani, oh, shim. Ishegun are re, oshe, o Jesu, a o maye a, oshe o Christi, a la ro ayawa, oshe o Jesu, a o maye a, baba, gbope ta mu wa fun o, oshe. O shen Jesu to seru wadayo. O shen, o shen. O mu banu jeto. O shen, o shen. O rini leti eleshe. O shen, o shen. Ye ati lera. O shen, o shen. O shen, o Jesu. Ha o manyo. O shen, o Jesu. Olorun ayo wa ose o Jesu ha o manyo baba dope ta mu wa fun o ose ose wa soro ku gbonre o soro ku gbonre ti le ti tu o gba emi ti tu oni robinu je yayo oni robinu je yayo o to si si o to sisi gbagbo baba mi atolorun mi baba mi atolorun mi mi nira wore mi nira wore nira ka gbogbo aye nira ka gbogbo aye ala oruko re abi o se fun a o ma se fun mi ah, oh, madame, lari. Abi, o segun fun wa. Ah, oh, ma segun fun mi. O eje re so gba mi la. Eje re segun fun mi. Eje re segun fun mi. Eje re segun fun mi.
Thank you. Our New Testament lesson today is from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return unto Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Mr. and Mrs. Apapa know that we know their dialect, but they also want to reassure us that they sang Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. And it was beautiful, expressive. I have a delight this morning not only to be in worship with you, but also to have our worship leaders on this platform and others in the congregation and others who could not be here this morning involved in praxis this past summer. These seminarians went into three states attempting to plant new work. This has been an emphasis, one of the stories, an unfolding story, continuing story of Southeastern Seminary, and many of us out here could tell these stories, of a linkage with the Home Mission Board, with the local churches somewhere across this nation and the world, and with the seminary in ministering to the needs of people, the unchurched and the church, in trying to preach the gospel and build the church and help to implement the kingdom of God. So I am excited and I am pleased that our praxis people have returned. They are safe and sound. They have served well for 10 weeks this past summer. And they have joined their allegiance and their membership, as it were, in 14 years of Southeastern Seminary, sending out people, nearly 300 now, who have participated in church planting. Other seminaries have done similar things. So I'm grateful to them of their return to be with us and of their witness to on this occasion. I want to tell them something and you something that I received this morning from the Home Mission Board that helps to direct this program with us. I don't have an opportunity to meet with them in a group any longer because we have finished our course, as it were, formally. But this morning, this word comes from the Home Mission Board. Praxis 89 has been one of the most successful years in recent memory. I am pleased to report that at this point, more than 80% of the teams were able to start at least one Bible study fellowship, with many starting multiple fellowships, and at last count, more than a dozen actually establishing a new mission before the conclusion of praxis this summer. I think that is gratifying, that is encouraging, and that is inspirational to us here. I also want to alert you that on Missionary Day this Tuesday, Dottie Williamson will be our Missionary Day speaker. Dottie came here from teaching in the public school system in the 1970s, took many of our courses, went on many off-campus expeditions, took praxis on Long Island, New York, and now she's a church planter, having served in Virginia and now recently has moved to Mississippi in church planting. You will want to hear Dottie Williamson. Also, after we have our chapel service, and as we conclude with the benediction, I'm asking the praxis people on the platform and in the audience to come forward, and if you have the chance to greet them and express to them some meaningful words. My task is a good one, I think, in the moments that we have for a devotional. It may seem strange to you that I have chosen a devotional topic on a journey of light and love. I just as well could have called this the tale of the Magi. Some years ago, having arrived in the country of Iran with a family of wife and three children, no other Southern Baptist there, getting up the next morning, having stayed in a guest house with a little jet lag, but excited because I really remembered what my Sunday school teachers had taught me at Main Street Baptist Church in Emporia, Virginia. Something about those wise men in Sunday school class, those magi. And I had read about them in seminary, and I had thought often about them as I was on the way to Persia, to Iran. So leaving my wife and children in the guest house, some sleeping, I got out not knowing a word of the Persian language and walked up the blocks, about four blocks, where I was told was the temple of the wise men, the Magi. I walked up, knocked on the iron gate. A person came, did not know one word of English, but through my expression and my hopefulness of entering, he brought me into the grounds in his white robe, walked by the temple where the fire was burning, the temple of fire. In those days, we didn't have temples of doom. Well, I might have thought I was an Indiana Jones. And he took me to another magi who had on a white robe but who knew English. And there our conversation began and our relationship began over the years. I asked a lot of questions. I really wanted to know the story from the wise men, the magi. And this is what I got. It was a story of light. It was a story of load, carrying a load. It was a story of long looking. It was a story of longing to return to roots with revelation and redemption and reconciliation. That was the story. It opened up the whole wise men, the magi's experience to me. The story of light, that here years ago, somewhere out in ancient Persia, New Iran, close to Tehran, the city where I was living, these people, describing it as a light of discovery, a light of revelation, followed this light to the end of a journey, they thought. The light led them, and it was a light that boggled their minds, so I was told. They had to carry a load. If you've ever looked at the map or flown in a jet and looked over what is known as Iran and Iraq and Saudi Arabia and Jordan and Palestine and the state of Israel, you would see that it's a lot of rough terrain out there, a lot of deserts where there's not much water and sand blows in your eyes, especially when you're riding a camel. And the story of the wise men unfolded that we followed this light, we put in enough water, making sure we were carrying some gifts of generosity, and we went on our way. Luckily, we found some oases where we could water the camels and found a little greenery and refreshment from the sun at times. It was a long journey, and we were carrying a long load, a heavy load, but we were led by the light. We got over to Jerusalem, they said, and we had to take a long look. Notice the light and the load. Being wise people, magi, they made a courtesy call on King Herod. And they said, we knew what King Herod was up to. He was a wily king. And though he tried to entice us to give him information that the light was leading us to, we refused. And though we gave him the courtesies that a king is due, we humbly bowed out of his palace and went on our way to Bethlehem. Because that's where the light stopped. It came to rest over the most prized possession in the world. And then the wise men told me their story to flesh it out. Not only was it a journey of light and of a load, a commitment, and of an opportunity to take a long look at what was important in life, but they arrived at the scene of the Christ child. And there they bowed, seeking out of the light the worship of the Christ child, and they gave him the best generous gifts that they had. They worshiped. But they couldn't stay. They had a longing to go back because there was much to be done. And they went back to find roots that were meshed together with this revelation of light, with this redemption which they were beginning to feel, and with this reconciliation back in Iran, close to Tehran. Now that was our story. Boggled my mind. How does God work through people like a King Cyrus and be called the Messiah, the anointed one in the Old Testament? He's not a Hebrew. God's revelation breaks through in all kinds of mysterious ways, even through the light. These wise men were telling their story, but I sensed that they had not personally come to know Jesus Christ as Lord, and they had not begun to build churches. They were still around that temple of fire. And they wanted to tell me very quickly, knowing that I was a scholar, that we misread in the textbook that the light, the fire, is not to be worshipped. It's a symbol of the righteousness and purity of this God who gave them the light in the first place, they said. then that's one tale of a magi. The second tale I want to tell is years, centuries later, millennia later, there comes to this land of the Magi some missionaries named Presbyterians. Baptists were long in getting to Iran. And they preached the gospel, and one of these Magi accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of life. And he told the same story. Often I have met with him. He told the same story of light and load and long looking and longing to return to roots of revelation and redemption and reconciliation. And this Magi began a church and got a few other Magi who wanted to live this story with personal knowledge and decision. And he got Muslim converts into his church. And then the revolution in Iran came, and that history needs to be told and will be told, maybe in church history books for your children. It's too early yet to tell the story. We don't have the information. But this Magi was a church planter, was a builder, oftentimes in a hostile environment. One day after the Iranian revolution, he was in his study. His wife brought in two young men that he had met before, had sought counseling from him. And she left them there in the study. And after several hours, there was no movement, no noise, no motion. And she went back in to find him stabbed to death. And that's another story of people who plant churches often running into a hostile environment, of people who preach the gospel in often a secular and non-Christian world, facing heavy loads, but they have the light. He was a church planter. And so I come to you today and to add Praxis people who have spent a long summer in very practical ministry mission, where they have preached, where they have taught, where they have knocked on hundreds of doors up and down this eastern seaboard, where we have people among us who have given that testimony, and people have come to Jesus Christ and have been saved this summer through our Praxis people. And I say to you that like Nikos Katsenzakis, whose writings I often read alongside the Bible in Iran when I was there and later, has something to say to us. Katsenzakis came back to look over the grave of his father. Family was important to him, and he'd often lived a dispossessed and disenchanted and displaced life. And Katsenzakis said a lot of things, among which were that the truth in order to touch me, maybe us, the truth in order to touch us must become warm flesh. That's incarnation. That's Word of God becoming flesh. I think that's something of what the Magi were trying to tell me. The light finally became incarnated. Truth, in order to touch us, Katsenzakis said, me must become warm flesh. I believe we in ministry and mission become warm flesh to people. We have the mind of Christ in us. We have the words to preach, to teach. We have the presence to be with them. He said something else. He said the real generosity of the future lies in giving everything to the present. Oh, that's an absolute statement. The real generosity of the future lies in giving everything to the present. Oh, how we plan for the future, how we strategize, how we save up our ideas and our monies and our possessions for the future, that may be wise. But Katsenzakis says the real generosity of the future lies in giving everything to the present. For after all, is not the present all that we have? We may have, as some people have said, a nostalgia for the future, and that may be good. But the present is all that we have right now. The present is all we had this summer in church planting. The present was all of that Magi Christian had before he was stabbed to death. And then Kotsenzakis tells us that we need to be ready to take risk. Return to the places of risk, he said. Most of our ministry and mission is that we found out this summer, and as many of us found out in cross-cultural communication boundaries, most of the people we meet are not going to pat us on the back. We had doors slammed in our faces this summer. We had dogs to bite us, to chase us. We're not going to have a lot of people to boost up our egos. I think Kotsenzakis was saying, be prepared to return to difficult places. We can be assured, I believe, as a wise man was struggling to tell me, a Christian, of their light and of their load and their long looking and their returning to roots of revelation and redemption and reconciliation. They were trying to tell me life is a struggle. But the other Magi was telling me, oh, how worthy it was when I come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, and when I can plant the church of God and help build his kingdom in the world. A tale of two Magi, a journey of light and love. May their tribe increase among us.
May we pray. O God of peace and patience, equip us, your humble servants, to do that which you would have us to do. Forgive us, Lord, for our shortcomings. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each of us. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.